Everything has its order in creation. Everything God established, everything God made, right? He made with purpose. The sun, the moon, the stars, everything in its orbit to supply, right? Life on this planet, to provide a habitation for us. He even gave us an earth suit, right? That works in this environment. Everything has order to it. There was chaos, but God brought order to the disorder. His Spirit brings everything into right order. Okay, now we understand that. The laws of gravity, if you jump off a 10-story building, you're going to fall, and you're going to fall fast. So we know there are certain laws, right, that are just in nature. Now, of course, there are going to be people who are going to say, well, it just happened by chance. And they're trying really hard not to believe what's obvious. And often it's because I really don't want to have to submit to anybody else except me. It's the same problem that we had in the very beginning. I want to be my own God. Therefore, I'll just pretend God doesn't exist. But just the fact that people get so upset when you talk about God, are you with me? It tells you that they're up. Why would they be all, if he doesn't exist, why are you all upset about the subject of God in the first place? Why does it bother you that much if he doesn't exist? It's like, it's a fairy tale. Because he is a reality. And God has put eternity in every man, in every woman, amen, in every heart. People know. There is a time when they do know that God exists and that he is. But people choose not to believe. And if they continue to choose not to believe, their hearts will become darkened. And then they will believe a lie. Their eyes will become blinded to the truth. And there's a condition called a reprobate mind that if people continue to disregard and deny God, that they'll be completely given over to their own lusts and their own destruction. Now we have, in the order of God, a Father. As a Father, he will protect, amen? Our Father will provide for his children, amen? We have a Father over creation. So in James 1:17, he's called the Father of creation. The Father is also revealed as the Father to a nation, a particular nation on the earth, and that's the nation Israel. Why is that? Because Israel is more special than anybody else? Because they're more important than any other nation in the world? You know, there are some who think that way. In fact, even some of the Jews, they get a little haughty sometimes thinking, well, we're the called out ones. We're the chosen people. No, God just decided to choose Israel to reveal himself to and to demonstrate to the world around them who he is and how he does things, to reveal himself through a people. So he is called the Father of Israel. Now, in Christ, we are brought in also to the same covenants of Israel, the same promises given to Abraham that I'll make you a mighty nation. And as followers of Jesus, as believers in Jesus, we are joint heirs with him. We are heirs to the throne. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female, in the sense that one's better than the other. God has made of two one new man. Jew and Gentile is brought together in Christ in one. Now Israel still has a purpose on the earth. However, God's plan was to have a people from the beginning who would reveal him to the world. And in Christ, you and I are that people. People need to look at us and say, that's what Jesus is like. That's what God is like. Yes. That's the way that God is. That's the way that he acts. That's the way that he talks. That's the way that he loves. That's the way that he blesses. And the only way that we can represent God properly is not trying to act like God. We're not trying to act like Jesus. Are you with me? That would be hypocrisy. A hypocrite is a stage actor, is what it means. So we don't try to act like God. We are being transformed into the image of God so that the world is actually seeing a representation of the heavenly as well as the earthly. Do you see the difference? Otherwise, you put yourself in the place of trying to be somebody that you can never be. So what God does is he comes and possesses an individual and he transforms them from glory to glory into the image of himself. So as we abide in him, as we worship him, as we seek him, we are transformed from glory to glory to glory. And the world begins to see reality of the living God in the people who represent him, who are the Christians. Are there any representatives here today? So he's the Father of our Lord. He's the Father who protects the poor and oppressed. He's the Father, obviously, of our redemption. It was God's plan from the very beginning. Amen. That through the seed of the woman, he would crush the head of the serpent. That Jesus Christ would be born. Amen. Of Adam's race. Hallelujah. In a supernatural way, so that that blood would not be tainted by the line of Adam. So God said the Holy Spirit will overshadow the virgin and she will give birth, amen, to a child. And his name will be Christ the Lord, amen. But he's also going to be called the Everlasting Father. God became a man, right? And so we need to understand the authority and the way of God so that when we come to him, when we approach him, we understand what we're doing. Because let me tell you something. The world is often dysfunctional when it comes to prayer. Sometimes we are dysfunctional when it comes to prayer because we don't understand how to pray properly. I hear a lot of prayers, and there are groups that get together from all kinds of different persuasions and all kinds of different religions. And let's all get together and let's just pray for world peace. So what a wonderful idea. The problem is there is no peace apart from the Prince of Peace. There is one way, one truth, and one life, and it is only through the blood of Jesus that one can enter into life. It's not through Buddha or Muhammad or any others. These are not the way. Jesus said, I am the way. So it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. But we pray to who? To the Father in the name of the Son. It's important that we understand how it works because otherwise you have people that just pray to God. Most people, folks, use God. God this, God that. And usually there's no problem. People can sit around and talk about God, and nobody gets offended. But as soon as you say Jesus, oh. Why is that? Because that is the name that stands apart. That is the name that is above every name. That is the true God and the true way. Amen to the Father. He is. So people can talk about God. Pray to God. Oh God, oh God. Who is your God? Jesus taught us how to pray so that we would pray correctly so that our prayers would be answered. Because people pray to all kinds of gods and people will talk about God, but you have to ask them, well, who is your God? You talk of God, who is he? And remember in Acts chapter 17, when Paul was in Athens and the Athenians had this inscription, you know, to the unknown God. And he said, I perceive that you're very superstitious. And that there's this inscription to the unknown God. Him I declare unto you. I want you to know, okay, who this unknown God is. Now, the Jews had the scriptures. They had the Pentateuch, right? The first five books and the law and the prophets. So they had the Old Testament scriptures. But The Athenians did not. So everybody was only right in their own interpretation, their own idea of what God was. They all knew that there was something bigger than them. And so they worshiped usually fallen angels. And they called them gods. They have all kinds of gods. But then there was this one that was the unknown God. And there was the opportunity that Paul had to say, listen, I'm going to tell you who the unknown God is. So what did he do? He met them where they were at. And he used the natural illustrations of life to demonstrate to them the God who made everything, who made man and placed man in his boundaries, you know, in different places throughout the earth. That same God, in him, he said, we live and we move and we have our being. This God I'm declaring unto you, he's the true and living God. And this God had a son and his name is Jesus. And Jesus came and he died on a cross for our sins so we could receive forgiveness. Why? Because we could not save ourselves. And your own righteousness was not good enough. So God, in his mercy, sent Jesus. And so, not everybody is a child of God. I talk with people, you know, you do too, I'm sure. I hope you do. But we talk to them and they say, well, everybody's a child of God. No, everybody was made in God's image. But it's very clear that there are children of God and children of the devil. Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. He was speaking to those who were rebelling and not receiving him as the Messiah. He says, you're already given over to that. We said, we're the children of Abraham, you know, because naturally or physically they were born through that line. That did not make them a child of God either. Jesus said, you must be born of God. You must be born of above. You must receive the nature, amen, the Spirit of God in you. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And so not everybody is a child of God. And there are many who want to use that very generally speaking. We're all children of God. No, I'm sorry. We're all born separated. We've been separated through sin. So we're actually sold into sin, sold into slavery to Satan. But Jesus came to redeem us, amen? To pull us out of the kingdom of darkness, to bring us into the kingdom of light. Jesus came to save us from a certain devil's hell. So as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the authority to become the sons of God. Are there any sons of God in here today? So this idea of we're all children of God and we all just pray to God. Who's God? You need to know who God is. And in 2 Corinthians 3:16 it says, nevertheless, when someone turns to the Lord, what happens is the veil that blinded them to who the true God is removed, and they begin to realize who God is. They begin to see the Father in the face of Jesus Christ. And when Philip asked Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us, you know. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long with you? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. Why is that? Jesus was the express image of the Father. He came forth from the Father. And he says, look at God in the form of his Son. Amen? If you see me, you've seen the Father too. And sometimes that's where there's a confusion. Then Jesus is the Father also, the people will say. Oh no, it doesn't end there. Matthew 11:27. All things have been delivered to me, Jesus said, by my Father. It's very clear. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and to the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. In other words, you can't even know God unless he allows you to know him. That kind of eliminates the pride, doesn't it? Well, I'm just so spiritual. Whatever you have, you received as a gift of grace. Say amen, right? Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for allowing me to see at least a glimpse of who you are. How many want to see more? I want to see Jesus, because every time you get another look at Jesus, you can't look at Jesus and not be changed. When we look into the face of Jesus Christ, there's a transforming work of grace that takes place. We become more like the one we behold. Amen? The moon and the sun have to agree. What does the moon do? It lights up the night. What are we to do? Light up the night. And we light up the night when we're looking to the sun of righteousness. We see the glory of the sun, which is invisible, in the face of the moon. So that is a type of the believer. Amen? And so we know that Jesus came for this reason, to bear witness to the truth, to reveal the Father. God says, I'm going to reveal myself through a man. So Jesus indeed was 100% man, but the Christ was 100% God. Amen. God and man came together. There's a God-man. How many know that right now in heaven at the right hand of the Father? So he represents not only the kingdom government of heaven, but also on the earth. Amen. He rules over all. And right now, he's reigning through his church on the earth realm. He's given you and I the responsibility to represent him and to represent the Father. People need to see what God is like through you and me. Now, when we address God, we need to address him properly. We need to address him as to who he is. Now, I and my Father are one, and sometimes I'll just pray, Dear Jesus, Dear Lord Jesus. You know, and I know Jesus hears me. But Jesus says, when you pray, pray in this manner. And some of us are familiar with this, but I just feel that we need to touch on this again. And there's some areas of this prayer that I think that we need to maybe elaborate a little bit more on. And one is this. He says, Our Father in heaven is how you begin to pray. Why? Because you need to identify who and where. Yeah. Who are you talking to and where is he? We're talking to the God of heaven, our Father in heaven. In Acts 4:24, Peter and John prayed this way. When they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Have you ever noticed in the prayers in the Bible that they identified God in the prayer? They didn't just say God. They said God of the covenant, or God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. They put an identity to who he was. What God are we talking about here? Why? Because you say God, there may be a thousand gods saying, who? Which one? Which one are we going to go? Because the devil wants to be God too, you know. He's not, but he wants to be. So we need to pray and address our Father, Heavenly Father, our Holy Father. Hallowed or holy be your name. That Greek word is hagazio. It means to be held in reverence and holy awe. Who are we addressing? We're addressing the God of all glory, all of creation. You know, how many know that God needs to be respected? We need to take God seriously. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, you and I must pray for the kingdom to come. Because it hasn't come yet in fullness. First in spirit, but one day face to face. How many know that nothing happens in the natural without first happening in the spiritual? How many know that the things that are made of things that are unseen? Things that we see are made of things unseen. So the first thing we need to do is we need to pray in the spirit, amen, for the kingdom of God to come and the will of God to be done. And the Spirit comes. That's what happens when there is a miracle. Is heaven comes down. Amen. God can release his glory and his miracles. But it's not enough just to ask for them and have. We could have the atmosphere pregnant. I want you to hear this. With the glory of God and the gifts of God and the miracles of God. And yet never actually see them manifest. Faith is reaching into that realm and bringing it into this one. When someone is supernaturally healed, it is heaven coming to earth and manifesting. So we have to pray that way. Father, your kingdom come. You're number one. You're first. Not my will, but yours first. How many know Papa God likes it when you make him first? How many know that his ways are always better than our ways? If you want your life to work right, you got to seek him first in his kingdom. And everything else he'll take care of. But he says, your will be done. Prayer is to bring about the conformity of the believer to the will of God. When we pray, we are actually coming into agreement with the Lord. We're coming together in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're coming into agreement with the heart of the Father when we pray. And what it's doing is bringing you and I into conformity to the will of God. We cannot do God's will until we first know what God's will is. And you won't know what God's will is if you don't pray. Many people are running around looking for prophets to tell them what God's will is for their life, when God is saying, why don't you just come to me and ask? And if a prophet comes and prophesies over you, because you already have a relationship with your Father, all it will be doing is confirming what God has already spoken to you about. You know, that's why so many people are getting deceived, is because they're going around looking for word. Give me a word. I want a word from God. Give me a word from God. Because they don't want to seek God themselves. They want somebody else to give them a word. Well, you're going to get a word all right. And there are many people that are shipwrecked because they're getting the wrong word, because they don't have a relationship of their own. They're depending on somebody else. Are you with me? Sometimes people, they depend on pastors to keep them, if you will, just spiritually alive. There are some folks that they depend on that Sunday service to kind of like, boom, you know, kind of give them a jump start and maybe keep them alive long enough till they can crawl in the next week. Oh, give me another shot of that. Why don't you look past the man and look to the one who's the giver of all good gifts? Amen. And let God do that for you. God will feed you daily with his bread. Give us this day our daily bread, daily provision. Not only for physical folks. How many know that's true? When we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying, Lord, everything I need is in you. Every spiritual gift, every good thing comes down from you. I'm asking for my daily portion from you today, Father. Everything I need is in you. And do you know that God will give it to you? I need my daily bread, Lord. I need what you have, the provision for this day. So we pray for that provision. And not only in the spiritual, but in the physical as well. God can take care of you. He's a father. And then it goes into forgiveness. Now, this is important. It refers to sin in general. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In order for one to be forgiven, they need to first acknowledge that they have sinned. Amen? Pretty simple. It's not that simple for some folks, you know. Some people are just speaking to God and say, God, I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, there are self-righteous people, you know. They come before God and they're proud of all their accomplishments. They're proud of what they did. They helped the little old lady cross the street. Isn't that wonderful? How many know we're called to do those things as good works as a result of faith, not as a means to? As a result of justification, we love and we serve, not as a means to justification. Were we to do good deeds? Absolutely. Faith without works is dead. But we've got to get things in order. Whatever's not of love, folks, is going to be burned up. Whatever's not motivated by God's love is going to be in vain. There's people that spend themselves, they just spend themselves, but it's not done in the love of God. Sometimes they're spending themselves out of guilt and shame and somehow trying to make up for all the wrong I've done and working for God to hopefully God like me a little bit better. It's called legalism. But we love, and because we love, we serve. Because we know that we're loved, we love back. The response to love is a returning of love, if we are open to it. And out of love, then we serve others. We bless others. But not as a means of being made right with God. Jesus took care of that for us. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. In order to be forgiven, this is also very huge, is we pray for a lot of folks, and sometimes people don't receive their healing or their deliverance because they refuse to forgive others. In other words, I'm coming to God and I'm asking God, give me all this. You know, give me my daily bread, give me my blessing. I want to be blessed. But oh, I don't know, that person over there, I just can't forgive them. I can't let them go for what they did to me. How many know that that holds you back? You can't go forward until you deal with that. You can't go another step until you deal with that. The Lord said, first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift to the Father. Amen? Yes. So forgive us our debts. Have we all acquired a debt towards God? Amen? Yes. We have all sinned against God as we forgive others. Right? As we forgive our debtors. So it's very important. In order to go on, you're going to have to get to this place of forgiveness. And then it says right after that, to lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. I'm thinking, does God lead us into temptation? What it really means is to leave us, don't leave us in the temptation. How many know that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted? How many know that temptation can be used to condition us in the discipline of spiritual warfare? How many know that it was in God's plan for Jesus to be brought into the wilderness to be tempted? Now, God Himself never tempts anyone. But James said it this way, let no one say when he is tempted in James 1:13, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So we know who the tempter is, right? It's Satan. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. The enemy's very slick. He knows where you're weak. Amen? He knows where we're weak, and that's the area where he tries to get you. That's why you must pray for your daily bread. That's why you must be armored up. Amen. That's why you must forgive others. If you do not forgive others, you're opening the door for him to come in and to destroy. And so, Lord, don't allow us to stay in this temptation. Deliver us out of it. In other words, God's not putting you in that, but he's saying, lead me out of this, Lord. Get me out of this. Help me out here. And sometimes, do you know that God doesn't answer right away when you're going through something? Because there's a discipline that you need to learn in that. How many know that resistance can make you strong? Anybody ever lift weights? Right? Resistance can make you strong, can build your muscles. So there's periods of time in our lives where you're going to go through some stuff that your answer is not going to come right away. You'll be tested for a season, but in that season, God is strengthening you and developing you in your character so that you will be a useful vessel in his hands, one that is user-friendly, one that God can say, I can trust this one. They've been proven when they were tested. They came through trusting me. They did not give in to the temptation. How many know that there are many temptations, right, in ministry? There are people that want to be involved in ministry. Well, God will test each one of us as we go through life so that as we pass the test, we can be entrusted with a greater anointing, with more of the treasure. Now, we don't want to go through the process. We want to immediately get there. We want to go up another way. We want to go around all that stuff. So God, take it away, take it away, take it away. It's always about God, get me out of this. God, take it away. And you never, have you noticed that God doesn't always immediately take it away? How many know there's just some things in life you're going to have to endure? But endurance is good because it produces the peaceable fruits of righteousness in you. It produces steadfastness. It produces patience. If you've got a bad temper, guess what? You will be tested in the area of your temper. Just ask me. I know all about it. But I want to tell you today, I'm not perfect, but I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. The things that used to get me all riled up don't anymore. It's amazing that now it's just stuff that just rolls off. It's like, ugh. It's like swatting a flea. It's kind of an annoyance, but my life is, I'm not consumed by the fleas. You just swat them off now. So that is what God is doing in us. Through the temptation, a temptation can be a test for promotion. So it's not all bad, folks. Whatever is allowed in our lives, if we handle it right, we'll produce fruit in the end. It'll be better for you in the end. There's so much to say about that, but I'm going to move on here. 1 Corinthians 10:13, most of us know this. No temptation has overtaken you such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able or beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So that in itself tells you that God is not going to necessarily keep you from every problem, but he's going to make a way of escape from it. He's going to teach you something in that. And then it finishes the prayer with, "For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." What is the kingdom? We're talking about the kingdom government of God. It's his kingdom, amen? The kingdom government of God. And the power, Lord, yours is the power. What is that? The power is the ability of God. Do we need power in our lives? Yes, we need the ability of God in our lives. How do we get the ability of God in our lives? By first coming under kingdom authority. Coming under the authority that God has placed in our lives. Placing ourselves under him. Are you with me? And then you will be given the ability of God to operate in legitimate power. Because you know what happens, folks? And this is a problem, even in the church, is that most of us, humanly speaking, we want power. We all want power. That's why people are getting into all kinds of stuff, right? Into witchcraft and everything else. Why? Because they want power. And power is a temptation sometimes, because do you know that power can destroy people? If a person's character is not developed to handle the power, it can destroy them. And so we got people who don't want to go through the processes of God. They want to jump right into things and get right into the power. And often they're not ready for that. And they get into a place where later they end up shipwrecked. Because what happens is pride can corrupt in the sense that it will make people arrogant. It will make them proud. Look how powerful I am. I mean, I've looked at some of our leaders in high places and they walk around like a proud peacock. They probably look in the mirror and say, "Wow, look how great I am." Are you with me? You can see it sometimes. So what God does, I want you to hear this, is he will take you and he will break you and he will bring you into position so that you can be entrusted with the greater riches of the kingdom. And you can move in legitimate, godly authority without your own agenda, but with under his agenda. Amen? Amen. God is weaning us off ourselves. God's trying to get us over ourselves. Oh, it's a painful process. It's all about me. No, it's all about you, Jesus. Unbroken people, folks. are not much use to God. It's just like that horse that's never been broken, you know? It runs wild. It's a wild horse. But it's of no use. Very little benefit can come out of that except horse meat. But a horse that has been broken and bridled. Amen? Once a horse has been broken and it's learned to work together in cooperation with its rider, with its owner, he doesn't have to constantly struggle with the horse. Just a little tug over here moves that way, a little tug moves that way, right? A little pull back and you stop. That's what God is trying to do. He's trying to get his people into a place, in a position where we are user-friendly, so that we're not arrogant and we're not self-seeking and we're not trying to promote and advance ourselves, so that therefore we can advance his kingdom and his agenda on the earth. How many know that we spend ourselves a lot of times in things that are just empty? Because they're pipe dreams. They're our own dreams sometimes that are really not in line with what God wants. I've done it. You have too. I'm at a place in my life where I don't want to waste any more energy. I don't have much to waste. I don't want to waste time. I want to make the most of every time that God gives me. It's time for us folks to get right. Amen? To get right with God. And just to come under his authority. And to pray in the kingdom. Amen? And for the will of God to be done in our lives, so that we will conform to the will of the Father. And that the processes that he's bringing us through are not bad. Even in the temptation, through the testing, you can be promoted and go to the next level of glory. Amen? From glory to glory, from faith to faith. It's all working together for good. As we learn how to forgive, it's the grace of forgiveness. We will never learn what grace is unless we have had an offense. Unless we've had somebody hurt our feelings. We would never know what it is to love and forgive. To walk in unconditional love. Even to the point where Jesus said that you must love your enemies. It's easy for us to love people that love us, but can we love our enemies? That's not possible humanly, but it is possible through God. God wants to have people that represent him in every way. So when people look at us, they say, wow, I really see Jesus. When I look at the Bible and I read about Jesus' life and then I look at you, I see Jesus. Folks, if it doesn't look like Jesus, throw it out. And the glory is the Lord's. Amen. And that's the manifest presence of the Lord. I'm going to finish with this. David's prayer in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10. He addresses the Father. Amen. In verse 10, he said, therefore, David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Do you see how he addressed him? Who was he speaking to? Amen. The God of Israel, who is the true and living God. The everlasting Father. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory. The victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. When we obey and we exalt the Lord Jesus, we are declaring his lordship over our lives. As we humble ourselves before God, God lifts us up. He exalts us in his time, not our time. But folks, we should never, never seek to exalt ourselves. Let God exalt you in his time. Submit yourself to God instead. Wait on him. Be faithful in little. And in time, he will make you ruler of much. Amen. He hasn't quit on any of us. We've all blown it, but we get back up, we get back in, we learn from it, and we go on. Amen? Amen. He's begun a good work in you, and he's faithful to complete it. Amen. Amen. I receive that today. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, our Father in heaven, for who you are. Lord, you're the God who created all. And for your pleasure, we have been created. So, Lord, as your people today, we want to give you thanks for giving life to us, for your great salvation, for giving us your precious Holy Spirit to lead and guide and counsel and comfort us, Lord, along the way. Lord, we ask you to lead us in the way that we should go. In your ways, Lord God, lead us in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for the promise of God that as we follow you, Jesus, as we make you our Lord and our shepherd, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. I want to ask everyone just to bow your heads just for a moment, please. And if you're here today, and as I was speaking today, maybe the Lord spoke to you about something unresolved in your life. I'm not here to be your judge. I'm just here to deliver the news. I'm just the newsboy. But if God has spoken to you today, I want to encourage you right now to make your peace with God and to say, Lord, I'm aware of that sin in my life and I'm aware of the changes that I need to make. And Lord, as an act of faith in you, I'm going to obey you in this and I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Would you agree with the Lord right now? By agreeing with him, you're putting yourself in the position to be blessed of him. And we all need the blessing and the favor of the Lord. Would you obey the Lord today? Is there someone that you haven't forgiven? Forgive us our debts as we forgive others. I want you right now as an act of faith before the Lord. Ask him for the grace. Lord, I need your grace to forgive this person right now. Grant me your grace. I want you just to speak that name out. Just say, I let you go. I forgive you. I choose to agree. It doesn't matter. I'm not living by feeling. I'm living by faith right now. I choose to forgive you. I cancel the debt. You have the power to do that. And you owe me nothing. I want you to speak to those. There's some of you here. You've got several people that you need to forgive right now. Just speak to them right now. Just take a moment. This is just a personal time right now between you and God. Just right now, Lord, I need your grace. Help me. And then I want you to speak to that person right now and forgive them. You owe me nothing. I forgive you. In Jesus' name, I forgive you. Maybe there's someone here this morning that there are areas of compromise in your life that God has been dealing with you about. How many know that you can't go on? You just can't go on until you listen to him and start doing what he says. Maybe there's a situation in a relationship today that you need to get right with God. Would you obey the Lord that his favor may come upon you to get yourself into the place where he can bless you? He wants to bless you. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, but you've got to obey him. Hallelujah. The Lord wants a clean house. He wants a clean vessel. He wants a pure bride. He wants a people who are committed to him. Would you commit your life to Jesus today? Would you make a decision today? Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Let it be renewed. Lord, I recommit my life to you today. Once again, I come to you, Jesus. Thank you for receiving me. Help me to live for you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.